Let's make it happen, Captain!
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome back, buddy. Yeah. Welcome back.
It's been a long 3 weeks.
Yeah, no email. You were not on email, which surprised, I think, the entire company.
It's the longest that I have gone without touching a computer, actually.
Very nice. Yeah. And, yeah, we won't ask where you were. You're on some op somewhere, I'm sure. So, okay. All right, first note here. We got an email from Jonathan Young who said there's actually a faster way to elevate without using Control-Shift-Click. That was something that we talked about in the past. In the search box in Start Menu, after typing the command, you can type CMD, or Notepad, or whatever you want to elevate, use the key Control, Shift, and Enter, and then you don't have to even click. All on the keyboard. I like things that don't make me reach for the mouse.
Yeah, well, on a laptop, the touchpad is easy enough.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jonathan. That was a good one. All right, and now we want to talk about, we want to add on to how to delete without first doing a file scan. You wrote back some notes to the user about using a third-party file tool. So this is one we were saying they didn't, if they move a lot of data, it has to go through and index, you know, what it's going to move before it starts
to
copy.
Explorer is, you know, is designed to be helpful. It's designed to, for most users. There's lots of different things that you can do with Explorer and like the types of information that it is supposed to be helpful for you. So, you know, when you're moving files or copying files, generally speaking, it's trying to help you, you know, figure out, well, how big everything is so that when you move it over to your destination, is there enough space? Are there going to be conflicts? All that kind of stuff. So, you know, as a general purpose file mover, it's not so great for the power user. For the simple user who's not actually moving a ton of files all the time, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're moving multi-gigabytes of small files, you can tell that when it's doing its calculation, it takes a hefty, long time to do it.
Well, and when I'm doing it, I talked about when I'm doing my annual, semi-annual backups, it's multi-terabyte of data. In that case, I just let it run. And the other thing, too, is I would never just move something in Explorer because the chances of it crashing and having to restart and everything, I tend to use SyncToy.
Right.
But one of the things you mentioned was command line.
Yes.
So want to find out more about that. And you also said you can speed things up by disabling thumbnail previews.
Yeah, so if you're moving like a ton of pictures and you haven't accessed them in a while or they've been updated but you haven't accessed them, Explorer will want to generate thumbnails from those pictures and movies and essentially anything that can have a thumbnail.
Yeah.
You know, when you open up an Explorer window, you know, you go to Documents and... you know, you show large icons, for example.
Yeah.
And you start to see these thumbnail generations. So Explorer will attempt to do that to be helpful for you. So if you turn off thumbnail generation and you can do that, I just hit Alt in order to get to the Tools, Folder Options, View. You can turn off, you know, always show icons, never thumbnails.
Yeah.
You can check this off, display file icon of thumbnails. You can, that's basically it. I want to take that one off. I've had it on here for a long time. I don't use the checkbox thing anymore. That is one method to help speed things up so it doesn't have to do that thumbnail generation. The other thing that you can do is turn off indexing while you're doing that file move, because while the indexer is running, it's seeing, hey, what are all these changed things that are happening? Let me get an index of everything in order to find those files faster for you.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, disable the indexer temporarily while that's happening. That should give you a performance boost. But otherwise, you know, a third-party file manager that's actually designed for this kind of thing, you know, moving files and you want to do it graphically.
And command line?
Robocopy.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. All right. Next question from Phil says, in your post-Christmas show on how to prep a new PC, Gov mentioned how he remotely manages his PCs using SSH over IPv6 to give him command line access. I'd love to know how to do this.
It's not quite SSH. Mm-hmm. It's WinRM, Windows Remote Management. We'll go, I'll prep something for a later show that will go into more details about this.
Okay.
But it's actually even more powerful than SSH. It's you can actually talk to bare metal with this. You know, WinRM is more than just a remote command shell. It's an entire protocol, an entire infrastructure. So there are in the enterprise, you can actually use WinRM to talk to routers. You could, you know, talk to BIOSes. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things that actually it can talk to. And you know, in a future show, I'll actually set up how I talk to my my machines at home.
Cool.
And I like to do things like kick off remote processes. If I'm encoding a bunch of files, I like to get status on that. You know, see what's happening. It's not strictly, you know, you get a command window and that's all you can live in. You can get a bunch of information about the system, read logs, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Okay, we'll do that. We'll set that up. All right, next question from Hamza. He says, I have an issue regarding my Windows 7 system clock. The system time keeps going backwards every interval of time, random intervals. I've set the clock to synchronize with Windows Time Server, and when I perform a manual synchronization, the time goes back to the actual time. But after a while, it goes backwards again. The problem started about 2 months ago, and it's driving me crazy. Please take my issue into consideration on coming defrag shows and or just by email. Microsoft, you rock.
This one is actually kind of interesting. The first thing that came to mind was overclocking.
Yeah.
You know, when you overclock something or your machine, it changes the way that it deals with time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said it started 2 months ago. Well, what happened 2 months ago?
Yeah, right? What's the differences between then and now?
Right.
Did you update your BIOS? Did you?
If you've installed like a game or a game patch services, it seems kind of odd why this would be happening. The other thing to do, and I mean, we've talked about it a lot, check your event logs when the time changes.
Yeah.
Because you might actually, if something is actually changing the time,
mm-hmm.
your event log will say so in the system log.
Okay.
So if you actually noticed, hey, within the span of the past hour, my time has jumped back,
mm-hmm.
the system log should show it.
Yeah.
It's slightly different when something has changed the time dramatically to jump back versus the time is being slowed down.
Yeah.
So that it appears to be slower when you go check it again.
Mm-hmm.
That one may not show as much, in which case something that is changing the system timer intervals.
Yeah.
A little bit harder to diagnose, but it's not impossible.
Cool. Okay. So one of the things we want to talk about today is SkyDrive. Let's jump in here and start talking about SkyDrive. There's a couple changes recently.
Yeah, SkyDrive just released a new app that is very similar to the Dropbox client. Here's a website that describes it. You can just create a folder like you would normally do within your documents or in your profile, and you can store your files there, and it'll do an automatic sync up to SkyDrive.
Mm-hmm.
I find it to be extremely useful for that kind of stuff. Talking about my vacation, I actually put everything on my SkyDrive so that I could access it with my phone, like my itineraries, my tickets, everything, you know. So I have paper versions of it.
Yeah.
But just in case something catastrophic happens, right, I can actually get that stuff again, reprinted if need be. So it's extremely useful for that.
I'm not surprised you were prepared for the catastrophe. That's awesome.
Multiple backups.
And so let's talk a little bit about encryption, too.
So now, a lot of people, including myself, don't tend to like to store sensitive information up in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different methods. You know, you can zip it, RAR it with a password.
Yeah.
But when you start to think about how you get access to that data again, like with my phone, if I put it in a RAR form with a password,
yeah.
you're not going to be able to read that. It just
yeah.
doesn't work properly. If you have another laptop or another computer or something, that part is easy.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is actually, if you're running Windows Ultimate or Professional or Enterprise, you can create an encrypted folder within there, export your EFS key,
yeah,
and you can take that key on your thumb drive, for example, and on any machine you can import your encrypted key, access your SkyDrive, link mm-hmm. your machine, sync it, and then you'll be able to access all your encrypted content and it'll still stay encrypted in the cloud.
Nice. Okay, cool. All right, anything else you want to talk about with SkyDrive? Get it now? I mean, the big change is, I think, 25 gig now. So log
yep.
in while you still can, because that might not last forever.
Yeah, I think they made a change that if you weren't using over 4 gig, that it'll set you up by default down to 7 gig in total.
Yeah.
But if you log in, you can go change that back up to 25.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to pay some nominal fee, which, I mean, 25 gig is pretty solid. A lot of documents that you can store up there.
Yeah, and they also changed the file size.
Yes.
So it used to be that you couldn't stick a file up that was more than like 50 meg, I think.
I think it's 2 gig now.
Now it's 2 gig, so that helps us when we're working with videos and stuff in the studio.
ISOs.
And, yeah. Very nice. All right, next question. In Windows 7, which of the following accounts have the run as administrator option showing for executable files? Local account not in the local and domain admin group, local account in the local administrator group, local account in the domain administrator group. I think I just read that. No, yeah. And then domain account not in the local or domain administrator group, domain account in the local administrator group, domain account in the domain administrator group. This is like a multiple choice question.
Which is actually kind of funny because no matter what account that you are,
yeah,
you will get the run as admin option, whether or not you can actually input anything that will run it as administrator is a different question entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually don't distinguish the run as admin icon. Is this a UI element? What we the UI guidelines say, if there is a possibility of elevation, you're going to put that icon there and inform the user that this operation may require elevation. It's not a, this operation will require elevation. It's that the possibility exists.
Yeah.
So we also don't want to do things where it's like detect if you're already running elevated and then start taking away UI elements, because then you get into a weird state where you don't know really what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So we really, the UI guidelines, and you can check this out on MSDN, there's lots of documents on that about how to design applications and how the OS informs the user that what they're about to do is an admin type operation.
Mm-hmm. Cool, okay. Next question. I understand they'll not be able to use a full 4 gig on my 32-bit Windows 7 installation. I already have 2 gigs installed, and a friend just gave me another 2 gig stick. So what can I do with the memory that is above the Windows 7 limit? A RAM disk? Faster, better video? Nothing?
Install Win7-64.
Yeah.
Then you can access it.
And you probably have that disk sitting around anyway.
Yeah.
So if you have Windows 7, you can install the 64-bit version. But there's nothing else that you can't really access set it up.
It's non-addressable.
Yeah.
Like by the operating system, it's just simply non-addressable. If you have onboard video, some of your video is going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably take you down to like 3.25 gig.
Yeah.
So in the end, you've got, you know, 3/4 worth of a gig that's just inaccessible to the operating system.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, we will report it as, you know, you have 4 gigs of RAM installed, but there's going to be parts of it that are inaddressable.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next question. I have 3 mounted network drives mounted to the I, Y, and Z drives on my Windows 7 machine. I'm able to unmount drives I and Z just fine by right-clicking and choosing disconnect or by executing netuse zdelete in the command prompt. However, my Y drive will simply not disappear from Explorer. The drive that it is mounted to no longer exists, so I have no use for it anymore. But when I execute netuse Y delete, the drive simply gets a red X over it, indicating that the network drive cannot be found rather than removing it itself from the computer. If anyone has experienced similar issues, let me know.
This one is actually kind of interesting. It's the question is not necessarily about the map drive itself, but it's how they mapped it.
Yeah.
If they mapped it from an elevated CMD, an elevated context, Explorer will show it, but will basically not really be able to access it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they really want to do, because Explorer is run unelevated, it's run as your limited user account if you're logged in as a user in the admin group, what you want to do is elevate CMD, delete it there, create a normal CMD, an unelevated CMD, delete it there, restart Explorer, everything should be disappeared.
Cool. Okay. Good. All right. Last question. I'm trying to copy files from a corrupted hard drive. Not all of them will copy. Some have CRC errors and will stall. I would like to skip those files and continue with the rest of the copy, but the copy process stops until I click one of the options in the error window. Is there a way for me to copy everything, tell the OS to suppress that prompt, and not copy the corrupt files on Windows 7?
Not through Explorer, but Robocopy has the option to do it. I have Robocopy, the help options listed right here. Basically, you want these retry operations. Mm-hmm. Set R to equal to 1. You know, why we default to 1 million retry operations, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Seems like an odd default.
Yeah.
And then set your wait time between retries to be, you know, 3 seconds or something.
Let's you just don't try a million times.
Yes. Yes. And then you can save that with this reg key.
Yeah.
With this reg option to the registry.
Cool.
So you don't have to keep doing that all the time.
Yeah.
But Robocopy is, I don't think we've talked about it before, but it is the de facto replacement for Xcopy. I know Xcopy has been around forever.
Yeah.
Well, first it was Copy, then it was Xcopy, now it's Robocopy. We really want people to use this if they're using command line. There's a ton more options you can that are available that aren't available in any of the other copy tools. The retries are one. The one that is really nice is there, as you can tell, there's a ton of options here. Use restartable mode.
Yeah.
So you know, if the drive disappears for whatever reason, there's some other interruption, you can start where you left off.
Nice. All right.
So, yeah, I highly recommend people explore the various options in Robocopy. It's a great way to sync files. You know, I know you use SyncToy.
Yeah.
But this is a poor man's version of that.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Pick of the week time. Time for the pick of the week. Windows Security Essentials 4 is now available. So, yeah.
Ton of enhancements. Faster, smaller. It's like the $6 million man.
Yeah.
You know,
free.
Free uses less resources.
Free doesn't hurt.
Than it used to.
Yeah.
I like to keep. I like to use the online version. You know, if I'm going to a strange machine and you know, it may or may not have antivirus on it, and mm-hmm. if I'm using a USB stick, I'll either have Security Essentials on the USB stick to scan the machine, or go to the internet and use the online free scanner.
What's your definition of strange machine?
Oh, well, I mean, when I was on this trip, the hotel machines.
Yeah, that's a strange machine.
That's a very strange machine.
All right, so yeah, Microsoft Security Essentials, get them now. 4.0, new, better, cheaper. Not cheaper, because it's free, but smaller, better, faster.
It's comprehensive.
Yeah.
Independent third parties have said that Security Essentials does the job, and it does it very well.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have a Mac version? No?
I don't think
so. I kid you, Mac users. Come on. All right. Welcome to the club, though, with the virus. All right. So that's the show for this week. And if you want to email us, you can write us at defragshow@microsoft.com. You can leave a message in the comments for the show, but we prefer a little email so we can go back and forth in the middle of the night. See you next week.